Hey, it's Kathy. Before we get into today's episode, I have something so cool to tell you about. I'm kicking off a free training. It's a free 5-day abundance activation challenge. It starts on May 6th, and I'll be going live every day with you to give you the practical tools that you need to become a master manifester and create more abundance in your life. If you're curious about manifesting and elevating your vibration to start attracting more abundance, if you want tools you can use to tap into the high vibe energy at the drop of a hat, or you're simply seeking truth and joy in life, this challenge is designed for you. I'll be covering the practices and tools to tune your vibration, claim your worth, and co-create with the universe. It's just going to be so much fun. This is the thing that I have been most excited to put together, and I have been working on this behind the scenes really for the last 2 years, and it's finally here. And if you wanted to just do a deep dive into all the spiritual and all the energetic tools that really you can use that are right here, that are within you, that will allow all these incredible gifts that are hidden in plain sight already to start being a part of your life. I'm so excited for this. We always have so much fun, but this is actually something I've been working on for over 2 years, and it's finally here. So save your spot now. You can sign up for free at kathyheller.com/5-day, and that's the number 5. This is huge. This is your David and Goliath moment. This is your moment to say, I'm choosing an authentic life. And that can be really scary. It's also extremely liberating. It's also what will make people lean toward you because you have a point of view. And it feels really good when you just say, it's okay with me. If you exit, your job is not to convince people who won't be able to see you how to see you. Your job is only to connect with the people who are really your people to serve. Hey guys, it's Kathy. Welcome back to the Kathy Heller podcast. So today I have a couple things to share with you. First, you're going to hear a piece of a coaching call I did about how to overcome the fear of not being perfect when it comes to doing a podcast and hosting interviews. And the second piece is going to be a little clip from the workshop that I did with my good friend, Stephanie Gass. We were having a conversation about what are the keys to a winning podcast. And there were so many juicy nuggets that I thought it would be helpful to share one of those keys with you. But if you want to learn more, then you can come to the Her Turn to Podcast Summit, because Stephanie Gass will be one of our speakers. Not only does she host her own amazing podcast, she's also a podcast coach. She has so much to say on the subject. So if you want to learn from her and other amazing female podcasters about expanding a podcast into a thriving business, then go get your ticket at kathyheller.com/live. I think this is going to be so amazing. The first annual Her Turn to Podcast Summit. I think you'll all be part of history because you'll be at the first one. All right, well, let's get into this. Take a listen. So what does it mean? Why would I play that song? What does it mean to have a higher love? Why does that feel so good to remember and to connect with that? We all know what that is. Yeah, it's self-love. It's a connection with like that true self. It's a connection with God. It's a connection with the divine. It's a connection with the flow. It's a connection with the infinite field of all things that are really what's here, what we're all vibing off of. It's that higher love. It's not being in fear. It's not being in doubt. It's not trying to control things, right? I heard Glennon Doyle once say, like, you have a choice. You can either control someone or love them, but you can't do both. And it's the same thing with your life. You either get to be in love with your life or try to control it. You get to choose. So fear is control because fear wants to predict. But when you are in love, you let go. And it's that adage, that age old adage, like, if you love someone, let it go. If it's yours, it comes back, right? When somebody's controlling and needs reassurance and is constantly trying to predict or defend against or understand or get, it's like that messes up anything, messes up a business. It messes up your podcast. When you let go and you just come from this place of this in and of itself is the ROI. I'm enjoying this. I'm learning. I'm calling myself to the table. I'm seeing new possibilities. And remember that there's a reason that we do hard things. We want to grow. And because we're growing, by definition, we're stretching ourselves. So you're stretching yourself. You're stretching yourself to see further than you could see. You're stretching yourself to show up more than you showed up. You're stretching yourself to set down the need to do things perfectly. You're stretching yourself in a lot of ways. That's not supposed to feel good. Nobody is eating chocolate cake during a workout. They're not.
right? No one's sitting there feeling comfortable and eating chocolate cake on a treadmill. They don't go together. And the satisfaction of the workout is you pushed your edge. You fucking pushed your edge. And that's what you're doing right now. You're pushing all kinds of edges. You're pushing the possibility of your own belief. You're pushing who you think you are. You're pushing showing up, being visible and sharing your voice and all the monkey mind stuff that comes with that. It's not supposed to feel comfortable like eating chocolate cake and sitting and watching a movie. Not the feeling you're going for right now. Different feeling of satisfaction, right? Different feeling. This is the task at the moment. This is what we're signing up for because the reward is actually greater because there's nothing like the feeling of being proud of yourself. That's a much better feeling than enjoying the good movie. Even if the good movie is great and even if the Twizzlers are perfect, there's nothing that replaces the feeling of here I am in my own self-agency, finding more authority in my being, walking back home to myself, finding new neural pathways of new possibility, of new strength. So tell me where you're at. How many of you have recorded an episode already? How many of you have yet to do that? That's fine. You don't need to put pressure on yourself, but we just want to check in. Just notice and just notice if there's anything to notice about that. Maybe you can notice the truth is I'm still in my own way about it. Or the truth is I've been overthinking what it's about or whatever it is. But I would say, even if you're going to record an episode and I say to you something like, go record a bad episode, then I would do that. Because by recording a bad episode and telling yourself, this is bad, this is just like at sound check when people just sing the ABCs, it's like, just go do it, right? Just do a bad episode. There could be a lot of gains in that. So I'm going to share my screen just to do a little review of a couple things. And then we're going to talk about a few more pieces, but I don't want them to overwhelm you because there's just never an end to what we can learn. But what we learn and what we implement, it's different. Like, how much do you really implement from what you learn? Usually you learn this much and you implement this much. And so instead of trying to even decide that you're going to implement everything I'm telling you, you're just going to take in what you can. I think of it like when I was in second grade and the teacher would say to get glue and draw my name and then dump a lot of glitter on it. And then you'd shake off the glitter and what would be left was, you know, just where your name was. That's kind of how learning is. You know, you're just dumping a lot on there, but in the end, there's only a certain amount that sticks. But I think if we know that and we anticipate that, we don't feel as overwhelmed. We're just like, whatever I get, I get. Whatever I'm willing to understand, whatever my capacity is in this moment, I'll get it. And that'll be enough to give me the edge because that's as much as I could get right now. And you'll have this for a lifetime to keep going back to it. And then you'll think you got something, but a year from now, you'll be doing something. You'll go, I think I finally just got how that actually plays out. But now that I'm doing it, I actually know what I'm doing. I remember Jenna Fisher saying to me that when they were filming The Office, it was like 7 episodes in where they all were like, oh my God, I think we now know what we're actually filming. Like, I think we now understand what The Office is because the first 7 full episodes, we were just figuring out. She said they were building the engine while they were flying the plane. All of a sudden, they were like, I think we have a plane. I think we have wings. I think we have air. I think we know what we're making. But they were finding their voice, finding their fit, figuring it out. So it wouldn't have mattered if they were given all this extra detail on branding and camera work. It was like they were just first finding the story. They were finding the voicings. They were figuring out what the show was really about, right? So this is the way it goes, is you're figuring it out as you go. And that is how it always is. And then you go, I think we're actually making this. This is what I think we're actually making. And that's an amazing feeling. So let's just review creating your podcast. So of course, it's an exciting time because you're in the learning curve and there is something so stimulating about that. Let's talk about what we're really setting ourselves up to do, right? You want to have episodes ahead of time so that you don't scramble, right? Which is why I said to you that I started recording in October and my podcast came out in January so that I wasn't scrambling. It's one of those things you don't necessarily always think about, but if you started your podcast today and put it out and you didn't have any shows in the queue, you'd have to hurry up by the end of the week to get one recorded, and to post it, and then you'd always be playing catch up. But if you give yourself 6 to 8 weeks of a runway and you go record 10 episodes, then when your podcast comes out, you don't have to rush. You can be recording things, but you already have several weeks going on. So that's something nice to think about. So the guest pitching people is a great thing to do. And it doesn't matter if they are, they don't have to be the thought leader. They don't have to be famous, but people come for the guests, but they stay for you. And so just thinking about selecting guests that resonate with your audience. And it's really about the message, right? Like for me, I was talking to someone this morning who works with women in their early to mid 40s on like perimenopause. And I was like, it doesn't matter to me how many followers this woman has. It matters that it's like the topic is interesting because so many of the women in my audience might want to know about all those hormonal changes. Like I just posted today, why is it that for 2.5 years, I'm 44. So like, it's been like 2.5 years that I get scared all the time because I'm like, why do I have like pain moving around my boobs? And then like, I go to the doctor and he's like, I think it's hormones. You're getting older. I'm like, that thanks. When does that go away? And he's like, it doesn't. And he's like, but don't drink coffee. That doesn't help. And I'm like, no problem. Sure. I'm like drinking all the coffee in the world. And so I, of course, like made an appointment, have a mammogram on Monday, but it's like these topics, it matters. If it matters to you, it matters to someone is my point. It doesn't matter that this person I was just talking to, it doesn't matter to me if she has a best-selling book. It doesn't matter to me if she has 100,000 followers. It matters that she's really helpful at talking about that topic because, you know, and also the other day I was talking to a woman who's at my daughter's school. She's a mom of one of the kids and she was helpful with helping me acclimate my daughter. We were new last year to the school. And I was like, this is a good topic where we can be two moms talking about how to handle girls when they're 10 or 11 and what are the ways to have them like lean into what's uncomfortable and make play dates and have to overcome themselves because it's a tough age. And it was such a candid conversation. I was like, I want to have you on the show because it's the stickiness of the conversation. Okay. So it doesn't have to be that the person is famous and creating questions based on your guest interests and needs. People want to feel seen, right? So that's the best thing ever. And when you make people feel seen who you're interviewing, they're going to post about the show. It won't matter to them how many downloads you have. They'll be like, I have been on so many different kinds of things, but when I was sitting with this girl, I felt so seen. So I want to help promote you. And that's a really beautiful thing, which can help your career quite a bit. Even if that person only has 316 followers, if they have an engaged audience and 115 of those people see it and follow you, that will matter, right? So just, you want to just kind of peruse like who your guest is and what they care about and what they talk about and feel free. You know, sometimes people for the fun of it, create like a segment where they'll have a rapid fire section at the end where they'll be like, okay, rapid fire. What's your favorite television indulgence? Rapid fire. If you can go spend the day anywhere, where would you go? Rapid fire. What's your favorite 80s rom-com? You know, those are kind of fun things because they disarm the conversation and they make the person get out of their like expert mode and just kind of be human. And so being silly like that can be helpful. And one thing that we do on my podcast that listeners seem to love is we take the takeaways from the expert. Like we'll go back and highlight, all right, these are the things that really felt like they mattered. And another thing that you can do once you get more like savvy is right after you record the episode, like when you're in the energy of it and get off your Zoom call, you could go and record a 1 minute video live on your Instagram stories and say, I just interviewed so-and-so and I'm so lit up and I'm so excited for you guys to hear this. It's coming soon. And here's the thing that we talked about that mattered the most to me. Those are like fun kind of things to do once you're in the rhythm. Helping your guests feel seen right away is so important. Like whenever people come on, I assume that whether they're fancy people or they're not so fancy, I want them to just feel like I've got them. So before we even start, I'm like creating that energy. I'm like, hey, it's so nice to meet you. Welcome. You sound good. You look good. How are you feeling? And then what I normally do is I'll say, I want you to know who's listening to this. You know, my audience is women between the ages of this and this. And even if you don't yet have an audience, you are you. So basically that just grounds them and they have a sense of you being in your authority. Like, this is who my audience is, just so you know. So every time someone comes on, I'm like, hey, my audience is women between this age and this age. And they're the kind of people who they work on themselves and they strive for purpose and they're going to love what you have to say. So I tell them all ahead of time, they're going to love what you have to say. They're your kind of people. I'm so excited. And then they're like, oh, and it reminds them, like, there are people listening, not just like a vagueness of a blackness out there. It's like, there are people listening and I want to serve those people. And I think that that's a nice thing to do. So you don't have to obsess, right, about the tech or the editing. I know that there's no end to how crazy that can make us feel, because there's so much to it and there's so many bells and whistles you can add. Because your first 50 episodes are never going to be your favorite 50 episodes, I said, I'm always looking back and I'm always reminding myself that when I start something, I always feel like, gosh, I wish I had 1 million listeners right now. And then I'm like, thank goodness I didn't have 1 million listeners for the first 10 episodes, because those were not my best 10 episodes. So I'm glad that it grows with you. And that being the case, I would just put your shows out. I think it's charming and I think it adds authenticity if it's not overly edited. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not yet fancy enough to edit it. So you're saying on the podcast, all right, so let's go back. Let's say that again. It actually adds like character and sweetness. And for the first 10 episodes, if you only have 96 listeners or you only have, you know, 1,004 listeners, they can handle it. They're growing along with you. In fact, that makes you more charming and more authentic to say, hey guys, I'm doing this and I'm learning as we go. And you know that you might hear a door slam and I don't know how I can go back in and edit that out, but I'm here. I love you guys. Let's go. Like, the world is so suspicious of things that look too perfect. The world is actually a little nauseated by that. So whenever somebody is trying and they're making things appear perfect, people immediately don't trust you. You now have to work harder to earn their trust. One of the reasons why The Office is the number one show, even now, like even when there's no, you know, The Office is not on TV right now. Even now, when it's not on TV, and even now when there's so much that we could watch, there's no end to what we can watch. It's still the number one show because Greg Daniels was like, hey, in a world of perfect Barbie looking people, let's put real people on TV. And he made the good call because it immediately signaled in people a sense of trust and lovability and likability and all of that. So really understand that there's a superpower in leaning in to whatever's going on and using that as a benefit right now. So it's about your energy. I'm still recording my intros and outros on my phone to this day. I don't want to be the kind of person who says to my kids, okay, mommy's going into her office and don't talk. It's like, sometimes you hear my kids in the background or sometimes I'm in the car. I'm like, you guys, I'm coming home. I'm in the car. I couldn't make it home in time. I have a cold. My kids are in the backseat and I'm recording the intro to the podcast. It's like, it's great. Actually, it's fun. It feels real because it is. Don't be afraid to take a stand. You know, I think so much of what gets in your way is like, well, if I do this episode and I talk about this, what's my uncle going to think? Or if I do this episode, what's my sister going to say? Or what are the people who I work with going to say? It's like, this is huge, right? This is huge. This is your David and Goliath moment. This is your moment to say, from this point on, I'm choosing an authentic life. And that can be really scary. It's also extremely liberating. It's also what will make people lean toward you because you have a point of view and you care about certain things. And it feels really good when you just say, it's okay with me if you exit, where you're not trying to control how people think about you, because you never controlled that anyway. People already didn't like you even when you were trying to be your best. They already talked about you at the Christmas party. I guarantee it. They're going to do it again this year, right? We all have a few people who will just think that we're just like toxic or not relatable or annoying forever and always. That will always be the case. So you're surviving it now. You'll always survive it. And your job, thank God, is not to convince people who won't be able to see you how to see you. Your job is only to connect with the people who are really your people to serve. And in a sea of 8 billion people, there's no way on God's green earth that you are everybody's cup of tea. You're just not. There are people who would say, there's no way you could speak to my heart because you don't know an ounce of what my life is like. They're right. So it's not your job to convince them that they're wrong and they really should listen to you. There is so much to go around. Every day I find out about someone who I've never heard of, who has 17 million followers. And I'm like, I've never heard of that person. God, they have a giant sliver of the world and I've never heard of them. So if you want to make a beautiful impact and over the next 3 years, create 1,000 super fans, that will bring your business $1 million in revenue. And that's 1,000 people out of 8 billion. And you're doing great. 1,000 super fans is where you want to be. That isn't anywhere close to all the people in the world. And therefore, we want to really deal with the people that you serve. If your whole fan base is going to be second grade math teachers, that's a positive. That's great, right? Let's just talk to second grade math teachers. Forget everybody else. That's going to do you a lot of good. My friend Stacy started her podcast talking to dance studio owners. She made $4 million in 3 years because she's only talking to the people who own dance studios. I don't know anyone who owns a dance studio. I know one person who's a dance teacher. So it's a very small group of people. She's doing great with it. There's a beauty to you really figuring out who you're for and letting the rest of the whole world decide that they don't get it and they're not interested. Perfect. That's exactly how you want it. So that's what this is about. And then it talks about, you know, just looking at those imposter syndrome thoughts. Is anyone going to listen to this? Who am I to offer perspective? Like, who am I to do this? And this feeling like, is anyone going to even listen? I want you to think about before we had the internet, before there was people with social media accounts, it used to be that if you were a merchant and you had a business, you could ride your horse 100 miles to go speak with one person and see if they wanted to buy your wares. And that would be still a day worthwhile in your business. Now, because we make great the enemy of good, we're like, well, if this is greatness over here, then what does it matter that there were 27 people who listened to my entire episode today? 27 people is nothing. Doesn't matter. What does that even mean? When I was working in the music business, Billboard magazine wrote this article about me. And I remember in that article, you know, sometimes they pull out a number and they kind of like make it pop in the article, or they pull out a quote or something and they put it on the side of the page. So they pulled out the number 28. And they said, Kathy Heller has had 28 songs licensed this year from 17 clients, 17 music supervisors. And I remember thinking, yeah, my whole business, the entirety of my business is because there are 17 people in the world, in the whole world, there's 17 people that come to me and say, do you have a song for this episode? Do you have a song for this ad? 17. That was it. That I was able to make $350,000 because 17 people who worked somewhere or somehow in the music business knew who I was and gave me the opportunity to send them songs for things. I'm talking about 8 were at ad agencies, 4 were working on movies, 6 were working on TV shows. That's it. Do you know how many ad agencies there are? Do you know how many I pitched to every single day? There was never an end. I would pitch to all the Leo Burnett's in Chicago and in San Francisco. And then I would look at Young and Rubicam in Milan. I mean, they're in every city, in every big country, all around the world. And there's all these ad agencies doing all these ads. There's never an end, right? And then there's all these shows. And then there's the shows that are, you know, on the other networks besides the big Fox, NBC, ABC, CBS. There's like Freeform and then there Discovery. There was never an end. So there were 17 people. One was like an assistant music supervisor. One was the music supervisor. One was someone who was a producer at an ad agency. There were 17 people. And those 17 people, I knew their birthdays. Those 17 people, I knew where they lived. I knew when there was a storm in the Midwest. So I would reach out to Michelle and see how she was. I made those 17 people my whole world. And those 17 people, we would do lunch. And if I got a ticket to a Lakers game, I would buy a ticket for one of them. Those 17 people were it for me. And what happened? I grew a business from that, right? And I learned a lot and I got tremendous opportunities from that. And then sometimes by the next time I was featured in Variety a year later, I had grown. Those 17 people were more like 33 people. Why? Because those 17 people referred me to some of their friends who also were looking for songwriters, right? So my business grew to about $500,000 a year. And then I started teaching a class to songwriters. And then from that, I started a podcast. But it's fascinating how, because we're so desensitized to humanity, we're like, no one's going to listen. I just put up my podcast and like, yeah, there's 3 people in China who heard, 5 people in Australia, and it's only a total of like 46 people that heard me. So what good is it? And I'm like, oh my God, you're not getting it. Those are 46 people. Those aren't 46 bots. Those are 46 people. Grow that to 1,000 listeners and you are done. Grow that to 1,000 listeners. So let's reframe the imposter syndrome thoughts. Remember that it's not about being credentialed or skilled. It's about being vulnerable. It's about having just a tiny edge on the topic, a tiny bit of oomph to get that person's blood flowing. Thoughts are not facts. You know, I say this all the time. And if you didn't feel the whisper to share this or to put this in the world, you wouldn't be here. There's some reason why you've seen enough evidence, and you're right, that working in corporate, it's not really a sustainable, scalable, long-term, awesome, viable thing anymore. When really creating your own brand and creating an online business, really there's no end to how scalable and how sustainable that is. Because as long as you go live, you're employable, right? You work for yourself. So there's something that's gotten into your system that says, create this and this will be the crux of the content that you can repurpose. And from here, that authenticity, you know, starts to spread out. So it's worth it. So now I think this is one of the most fun things that we could talk about today. We're going to talk about profit. We're going to talk about what is it about profit that actually makes the podcast successful, not only because it makes you successful on a financial level, but why is profit so important actually for your listeners? Why is it important that there is something that they can buy? So Steph, let's talk about profit. This really is where you are queen. What do we need to know about this?
Yeah, so I guess I'll start with, who feels weird about sales? Like, on a scale of 1 to 5, where are you guys at with sales? 1's like, bleh, like I heard it, you know? 5 is, I love it. I'm obsessed. And here's the truth. Sales is a skill. So first thing about this when it comes to profit is, like, we have to learn to love selling. Selling is not what you guys think it is. It's an invitation. It's a, hey, you want to learn karate? And guess what? I have a karate class that I can market that is going to give you what you need, right? It's this beautiful invitation that you're going to effortlessly weave straight into the podcast. And so I want, first of all, for everyone to understand, I believe that when we decide what our pocket niche is and we go all in and we build the house and we decide, you know, what is my thing that I'm going to do? It's actually our responsibility to say, I don't just want to create a bunch of leads over here and like let them wander. I want to create a lot of friends that are actual heartbeats that I can serve and take them all the way to the solution that I have for them. Like, people don't come and listen to my podcast and go like, oh, I want to start a podcast one day and make money from it. And thanks for like bringing me into your podcast, Steph, but I still don't know how. I still don't believe that I can. I still don't have the way. My responsibility is to say, how do I get you from, I want to start a show and build a profitable podcast, to, I've done it. I'm making money from my show. I'm working in this amazing amount of time. I'm free from the social media hustle if I want to be. I feel like what I'm doing is in full alignment with the purpose over my life. This is so incredible. That's my job. It's my mission. And so what I want everyone here to understand is your little niche that you're going to serve It's not just to serve, but it's to solve their problem. And that is how you will make profit. So what does profit mean? It means that you are marketing something on your show that is going to return a revenue, which is whatever people pay for that product. And then you have to do certain things with that revenue, right? Maybe some goes to the host of your course, or if you're affiliating, you're going to market some back to the person you're affiliating for. We'll talk about my four favorite ways to profit in a second. But at the end of the day, what profit is left for your business, your family, if you want to give, whatever those things are, it's critically important, I think, that as business owners, we are profiting in a meaningful way. I'm not afraid of money, and I don't think you should be afraid of it either, because all it means is that people are paying for the solution that they desperately need anyway. And when we have people pay for something, they show up for it. How many of you have ever signed up for a free thing and you're like, whatever, I don't have time for that today? Like, we pay for something, we show up for it. And so that is why I know that you can, each and every one of you can profit from that pocket niche that you're going to serve. So my four favorite ways to profit from a podcast, and these are going to be in my least favorite to my most favorite. And then we'll talk about some hows, and Kath will put her two cents in here. So the one that you guys are thinking of, like, how do I make money from a podcast, is sponsorships. You're thinking, okay, I'm going to go and have, you know, whatever company sponsor my show. Let's say that you're a meal prepping podcast and you're like, I want to go to Thrive Market and have them sponsor the show. Is that what anybody's thinking? Like, this is how you make money from a podcast. That's actually my very least favorite way. Why? Because you're going to make pennies on the download. And people don't actually buy something unless they truly know that you believe in it. So if you're like, I'm going to be sponsored, it better be something you use all the time. You constantly talk about it on your shows. And like, you don't really care about the type of profit that it makes for you, because it's not going to be much for a really long time until you have really, really big numbers. So that's sponsorship. My second favorite is called affiliate marketing. And this would be for those of you who are like, I don't really want to have my own thing. Like, that doesn't feel great for me. I would rather find somebody else who has a meal planning course and sell their thing on my podcast. And then you make a commission. And it's usually between 20, 30% commission on average. You make money that way. That's a great, easy win for people who don't want their own thing. Okay, my second to most favorite one is coaching. So this is my favorite, because when your show is newer, we may not have the numbers yet to drive people into like a membership community and actually hit those higher numbers. Or we may not know, what is my course going to be? What is my thing going to be? Coaching is such a great way, you guys. You basically get paid to do market research, and call it what you want, coaching or mentorship. For me, I didn't want to coach forever, but I wanted to coach for one, to help people. Secondly, to make more profit in my business. But third, to learn, what did they really desperately need from me so that I could go create my favorite thing, a course, whether it's an, like a passive, fully self-study course or an in-person group coaching type course. That's my absolute favorite way to monetize a podcast. And the reasons those are my two favorites is because you have the highest profit margin. Let's say that you sell a coaching call for $100. We'll do a little math here. Let's see if I can do this. Not great at math. Okay. Even though I have an accounting degree, this is the funniest part, right?
I have about a calculator in front of me. So just tell me what you got.
Oh, no. Add it up. Okay. We'll try to do easy math. So let's think of 1,000 podcast listeners. Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody, 1,000 people listening to your podcast. And you sell 1% of your podcast listeners every single month. We have 10 sales coming in hot every single month at $100. Let's say you have a $100 coaching session. You have made $1,000 per month off of your podcast with only 10 hours of your time. What an incredible place to just start. Let me tell you guys something crazy about what happened for me with coaching. I started with $80 an hour. Within 18 months, or maybe it was 20 months, we were at $800 an hour per coaching call. I don't coach anymore because I capped out. And now I have my courses and my group coaching program, right? And now people go into that and it's much more of like a passive model. So I'm telling you guys that because 1% conversion on your podcast listenership, it's very possible. Most of my students are getting to that point within 12 months of having that niche dialed in and having all the things in place. Profiting from a show is something that we do every single day. But those are how we can profit. What questions come up, Kath, or what do you want to add to that?
I want to add some stuff, and I love what you just shared, and here's what I'm going to say. You touched on it at the beginning, and so I just want to go a little further with it. It's why is it so good for your audience? It's because we all come to this world every day, and one of the things that we want is to expand. We want a transformation. We want to evolve. We want to live into our potential. Now, what we see in the data, and what I love about data is it's just science, right? It's just math. So it's hard to argue with it, is that in order for a person to actually do something, even if they say they're going to do it, they actually have to have accountability or else they don't. So 97% is what the data shows that you're actually going to get it done, but only if you have the accountability by 97%, which means you're 97% more likely to actually do what you said you're going to do because you were kept accountable. Now, what keeps people accountable? Sunk costs, right? If you, like me, I had to pay my own way through college. You best believe I got straight A's. I paid for that. I had sunk costs. I was invested. I wasn't going to miss class. That's why I was such a nerd during college and I never went out because it mattered to me because I wasn't going to be able to ask mom and dad to just pay for more semesters and all that stuff, right? And if you want to learn anything, whether it's how to start an Airbnb or you want to be better at playing chess, if you just tell yourself, oh, I'll just watch some free YouTube videos on that, then I can tell you just based on data that you're not actually going to follow through. And so why is that important? Well, there are people who listen to your podcast. Let's say you have one. And let's say you don't provide something that will give them that accountability and that transformation and like really allow them to exchange their sunk cost, their investment of time, their investment of money. If you don't do that, guess what? Someone else will. Someone else will. And I know that people get in their head and they have all kinds of conversations with themselves that prevent them from selling something. But I will tell you what, we like to buy things as people. So on the other end, how often do you like to buy yourself a ticket to a concert? Do you like to buy yourself shoes? Do you like to buy yourself a retreat? It feels good to spend money. Actually, we don't have problems with it on that side, but we go into a whole song and dance about it on the other side. It's actually just neutral. What I like to say is it's either free or it has value, which means it costs value. So podcasts that I put out are free. You can have them all day long. And I actually think they are valuable. But if you want more value, right, then there is a buyer at every price because people don't buy price, they buy value. And for people who are buying the value, there's a value attached to it. And it's for the person who wants to actually not just keep a to-do list running, and I like to say have a to-done list. That to-done list, buying something from the person, that's the insurance policy that now it's done, right? I can tell myself all day long I want to eat better, but if I go to Costco and I actually buy myself the Vitamix and I spend that money on it, I might actually make these smoothies, right? But if I don't, maybe, I'm actually not going to follow through. I agree with Steph that sponsorship, like even at the level I'm at where we have a lot of downloads, it is pennies on the dollar and I can't stand it. And I really at this point have tried to scrub my podcast of those ads and we are now and we're being much more intentional. And the way to grow an incredible business is to really focus on depth and intimacy and then to create this free value and then to create value for value. And imagine if, like Steph said, you take those numbers and you get to the place where you can have a course or a membership and now people are paying $1,000 or $2,000 or they come to a retreat for $3,000. It grows so quickly without you needing the popular vote because you have a small group of people, but they're paying a lot for the value. And with 1,000 super fans, I like to say, if your goal is not 50 million followers or 100,000 followers on Instagram. But if your goal is that over the next 3 years, I want to touch 1,000 people, I want to connect with 1,000 people and really deeply make them feel seen. Well, first of all, they will become your biggest fan base and they will do the work for you. They will market for you, because people who really feel seen, they feel compelled to tell someone else about you. That's what's happened with my show. That's what happened with Stephanie's show. And then if those people, that small group out of 8 billion people, 8 billion people in the world, if you just focused on 1,000 human beings over time, being the people that feel seen by you, if you do that math, right? And if those customers over the life of being with you spend $500 or $1,000, you make millions of dollars is what happens. And so I like to reframe, because I find that every time I meet somebody that is in their own way, we overestimate what's required, which makes us do nothing. And we underestimate what's actually available that we could do. And so we need to be really clear, what is the task at hand? Okay. And if you see the task at hand, then I'm here to tell you, I'm certain that you could touch those lives. And I'm certain that you could be focusing on those people so hard and so well that they go tell other people. And those 10 people, they tell 3 friends. That turns to 30. And those 30 people tell 3 friends. And that's how most of the most powerful businesses and movements in this world were ever created, right? Thank you guys for coming. I hope that this is helpful. I hope you took some notes, and I hope that you will start your shows and put your voice in the world, because there's a reason you have your perspective. The world needs to hear it.
So I hope that there was something valuable for you in those 2 pieces. Here are the takeaways. Number 1, there's nothing that can replace the feeling of being in your own self-agency, finding more authority in your being, walking back home to yourself and finding a possibility of new strength. Number 2, it's not about being perfect. It's about your energy. Number 3, this is your David and Goliath moment to say, from this point on, I'm choosing an authentic life. Being authentic and real is a superpower. Number 4, we shouldn't be afraid of making money. All it means is that people are paying for the solution that they desperately need anyway. Number 5, we overestimate what's required and we underestimate what's actually available that we could do. Number 6, focus on touching the lives of a few people. Focus on them so intently and so well that they have to go tell 3 friends, and they tell their 3 friends, and so on and so on. That's how most of the most powerful businesses in this world were ever created. All right, well, now I want to celebrate alumni from my podcast program. I want to say congratulations to Maria Gonzalez and her podcast, Taking the Fear Out of Learning the Tarot. Bunny Loveshock and her podcast, Whiskey Made Woman. Brooke Coinger and her podcast, Embracing the Messy Middle. And Laura Pfeiffer's podcast, Food Feels and Banana Peels. I'm so proud of these amazing women. It's so important what you're all doing, and I'm just so thrilled, and I'm so excited to see where it's going to take you. If you want to listen to those shows, we're going to put the links in the show notes, and I want to say thank you to you for listening. I know that there's so much going on in your life, and there's so much you can be doing with your time. It means so much that you're here. There are so many great episodes coming up, so please follow along on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or wherever you're listening. And if these conversations are helping you in any way, it'd be so great if you would share the show with a friend or leave us a review. Those things take about a second, but they help us tremendously. And finally, I would love for you to come be with me live for 2 days in Los Angeles, May 20th and 21st. You're going to learn so much about podcasting from some of the best women in the business. I think it's going to be such a sacred, special environment to be amongst such powerful women who are willing to be authentic and share their voice and make an impact, not the way that we've been taught to make it in a man's world, but the way that we are best suited to do that, through alignment, through the depth, through the connection, through our open heart, through our vibration. We're going to be talking about all things. How do we tap into our most essential gifts? We'll be meditating together. I think you're going to soak it all up and make some lasting friendships and do some incredible networking. So whether you're starting a podcast or you want to grow your podcast, this is the place to be. You can get your ticket at kathyheller.com/live. Go ahead and grab that so you can get in on the early bird pricing. I love you. I'll leave you with a song of mine. Have an amazing week.
Feeling of sunlight, feeling of blue sky. I want to go outside for a Sunday drive. The moment it hits you, the moment you're brand new, I kick off my old shoes, you can do it too. Ba 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 da ba ba ba, such a perfect day. Ba 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 da ba ba ba, clouds have gone away. it's so clear you're all